Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Tuesday, August 14, 2018. We are once again at the beautiful Indulge Resort on my big gay road trip to Palm Springs.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Big thanks to John and Sandy and the manager, Raymond, for having us here. We're enjoying sun and excitement and a little too much heat, but it's all good here. So we're here for another 2 weeks. If you missed yesterday's show, and why did you? We had a fantastic show with Jason Stewart, Frank DeCaro, Jim Colucci, Matt Wall, and we had food from 849 Restaurant. Some of the best lobster rolls in the entire world, some fresh ahi yummies, and all sorts of good stuff. In just a little bit, we'll be talking to my stellar panel today, Terry Ray, Mel England, Rick Carradas, and we're currently munching on food from Ruby's Diner.
Yeah.
Spring.
Oh my God.
We have a little Oreo chicken salad, some chicken tacos, some spicy chicken lettuce wraps, and a turkey club or a chicken club. Oh, good stuff, guys. We'll give a quick shout out to the sponsors while we're here to who made this big gay road trip possible. Thanks so much for Tony Guadagnino back in New York for shouting out on social media.
Hey, Tony.
And if you need any help on social media, go to his website, www.tonyguad.com, www.tonyguad.com. True FM Media in Columbus, Ohio has carried my show the last 3 years and helping us get out here to Columbus. Escape Room Palm Springs, we've been to once. We'll go there a couple more times before we leave. Andrew Christian was so generous, CBT Candle, Yoga Works, Sebastian Week, Skincare, and of course our restaurants, Just Tapas, Salads in a Jar, 849, Lulu's, Ruby's, and so many more to come.
I ate at Lulu's last night.
Isn't Lulu's
great?
Yummy?
Yep.
We love Lulu's.
We go there all the time.
Oh my
love
God.
Lulu's.
The free fee at Lulu's is to die for.
$20, big meal.
Yep.
It's so pretty to look at. You're like in the large deco, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Old Hollywood. So lots of fun stuff. So big thank you to those sponsors. Let's go ahead and get into the show here. I'll give a little small intro to each of my guests here. Of course, Terry Ray has been a great friend of the show. Probably Ty Stan Zimmerman is my most frequent guest ever.
Wow.
Because he has so many great projects to talk about that he's either created or been a part of. He is here with Electricity, playing also at the Indulge Resort for the next couple nights. It's the one-year anniversary of playing at the resort here. He also, of course, is getting ready to release another season of My Sister Is So Gay, where the lovely Lonnie Anderson plays Mumsy. Next to him, kind of, sort of, between a little bit of a sandwich of Rick Carrata sandwich, we have Mel England. He's been a great guest on the show in the past. Of course, he's started so many numerous projects. My favorite being Ron and Laura Take Back America. I love that so much. It's just a great parody in today's. If you haven't seen it yet, it is a little timely, my friend.
Yeah.
And, of course, he is the co-star of Electricity right here with Terry Ray. I get to see it tonight. I'm so excited. And we're going to be talking all things that. And then next to him in the middle, sandwiched in between, and I just want to hear another story that I can't even talk about on air. Rick Carradas, Rick Sudi Carradas, has been on the show a couple of times with us. He's working fun and behind the camera, of course, as producer and actor on Walk a Mile, My Prada's. He has an amazing new book out for the last couple months he's been touring the country with, Rainbow Relatives, Real World Stories, give you advice and how to talk to kids about LGBT family and friends. Excellent book, Rip. I love it. And we were supposed to have the fantastic Michael Vaccaro today talking about Child of the 70s, but hey, we have two co-stars we can talk behind his back.
We can talk about it, yeah.
We'll talk about
we'll
it.
We'll dish all about Michael.
It's just between us.
Yes, right.
Welcome, guys, to the show. Welcome to Palm Springs. How are we
doing?
Thank you, God. Exciting.
You guys are just locals, been doing this for a year now in electricity. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for coming to our nest.
It's our one-year anniversary. It's like I got married to Terry Ray.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, God, I know.
Fictionally, we have a fictional love that we just can't get rid of.
There we go. And of course, Rick, your book is here. You come out here. You're from LA, so you're able to come out and visit.
Yeah, about 2 hour drive. Not too bad, yeah.
There you go.
Wow, you made it in two.
Well, I'm being macho. Yeah, really, 2.5 hours.
Wow, okay.
Because you had to pee. Let's just say it twice.
Okay, all right. I was 50, I had to pee twice.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. If you wear it depends, you can just go straight through.
You know, if you just get a bottle, you can just do it right there.
We all have our own technique.
Ever since I heard that I've been an astronaut pants so long.
Yes.
You can, my astronaut.
Well, they also have this thing called depends, but.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can cut that time way down.
Well, they finally have nice designs on the front, from what I'm told.
Really?
But right? That's my mom's day here.
Wow.
From what I'm told. Well, she's going to kill me for that one. Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, welcome to the show. Let's start off with Rick here. The book is doing phenomenal. You've been all over the country with it.
I think that's selling Omarosa. What's her name?
Omarosa.
Yeah. Omarosa.
Don't buy her book.
Are you going to release a pay for anything tonight?
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, briefly, what the book's about and this book tour. It sounds like it's been kind of fun. You've been everywhere.
It's fun, yeah. It's a book on speaking to kids about LGBT families and friends. So it's for adults. And speaking to kids on all different topics, from when one parent comes out and turns out to be gay, to kids having two moms and two dads, to coming out to nieces and nephews. So all these different topics. There's a transgender chapter. There's a chapter on religion. But it's with a sense of humor, too.
I love the chapter headings. You guys got, for when they talk about transgender, it's called Kids, Your Dad. Well, she has something to tell you. When you talk about school, jeers to peers who bully queers, which is, we've all lived through that. And for parents coming out, we have Daddy Left Mommy for Tommy.
Oh, my God.
The chapter.
That's great.
Really fun.
The first chapter is, there was no monster in your closet, but your uncle was. So that's
uncomfortable. Oh, my God, I love it.
So it's with a sense of humor, but there are serious things in it as well, obviously.
Sure.
A parent tends to be gay, there's probably a divorce, so don't want to make too much fun of that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Some great contributors. What's that?
Can I ask him a question?
That is a question you want to ask me.
Yes. Can I ask what inspired you to write this book?
Yes. You may ask me. No, okay. I'll tell you too. Mm-hmm. I actually was talking to my sister like 8 or 9 years ago.
That was your question? Sorry.
Not
just got a fit and tore up his car. You people can't see it. But I think I might have a paper cut.
About 8 or 9 years ago, I was talking to my sister, and my nieces and nephews were kind of young, her kids, and I was asking her if they knew about, they live in another state and everything, if they knew about my orientation. And so she's like, I think so. I'm not sure how to approach that. I wish there was a book on that, she said. And I was like, that's a good idea. And that night I came up with the title, How to Tell the Kids About Uncle Mary and Aunt Butch, but I realized that was too silly. So it became Rainbow Relatives later, and I just went from there. Yeah.
So. That's cool. Great idea. It just makes me so happy because these are conversations that people have to have all over the country, especially as it's just, thank God, becoming more normal for people to be out in places like Peoria or wherever.
Kids are smart. They're so smart. They know stuff. Like my niece, when she was 5, we were walking along the beach, and she said to me, out of the blue, she said, you know, I'm really glad you're gay. And I said, why? Five. And I said, why? She said, because you're never going to get married, you won't have your own children, and I'm going to be special to you forever.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, that is pretty cool. She figured that out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she was correct.
Well, the irony of the book is it's for adults and speaking to kids, but kids aren't usually the ones that have the issues. It's the adults.
Yeah.
Especially,
yeah.
Like, religious.
That's totally true.
Well, and I think it's because it's the same thing as, like, when they have to talk about sex. Like, let's talk about the birds and the bees. And they, yeah, because I think it is the sexual component of gayness that freaks the parents out. Kids don't really care.
Right.
No,
they don't care.
And of course, like you said, New York, California, we don't think about it. And my little neck of Northeast Ohio is becoming a lot more accepting, but it's still a very conservative town, a little strange. So it's, books like this are amazing to kind of have out there. And like you said, it's more for the parents, I think, than the kids, because it really does educate everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and you've done book signings now all over.
Well, a few places. I've gone to Denver, Colorado, Long Island, New York, which is where I'm from. That was a lot of fun. And P-Town, Provincetown, Massachusetts, and Boston.
Are there gays in Provincetown?
There's a few.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Actually, I counted 749 when I was there.
Wow.
I don't know.
Just in the line for the bathroom.
And where else did I go? Just, well, a few places in California. I'm going to San Francisco September 6th.
Are you doing it here?
Books, Inc. Maybe in the fall we might be doing one. They're carrying the book at Just Fabulous. Here in Palm Springs.
Nice.
So there's, I think, a slight possibility we might.
Yeah, they should.
Well,
I know.
You should. Yeah, and you know, well, yeah, anyway, I have lots of ideas for
this. Okay, well.
There you go. I have someone calling in. That's not for me. Okay, we're good. See, we had a guest caller. I'm not running the show. I should be having callers.
Listen, I just want to, for anybody listening, I just want to just describe something here. Okay, Scott has his phone stuck up his shorts. And that's what he looks at for information. He has to peel back his shorts to see it, the screen. And then a microphone that the three of us are talking, is attached to Rick's crotch area. So we have to talk into that. But it's great. Keep going.
Rick's crotch has been...
Yeah, no, there's a lot of talking to.
We have to lean into Rick's crotch.
He keeps saying closer.
This part is not in the book.
Put your lips on the microphone.
I can't hear you.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I just had to paint the picture.
There you go. And now the book has some great celebrity input to it. You've had people like Bruce Lalonde, Del Shores, and his kids talk about that influence for the book and how that came about.
Yeah, most of the book is just talking about families, and I got a lot of interviews and their stories and stuff. Because I'm not really an expert. I don't have kids, so I spoke with people that do and all that. But I did want to have a chapter just for fun called Celebrity Thoughts. So I contacted Del Shores, who raised two daughters as a gay father, so he gave me a really nice interview. Shelley Wright, the country singer who came out a few years back, gave me a nice interview in there. And actually Jason Stewart, who was a guest on your show yesterday, I interviewed him in there as well. So that's kind of just a fun chapter, just their take on some of the topics and subjects.
What have you come across on the big tours that was the most gratifying and the most shocking, maybe?
One of the most gratifying was in Long Island. Well, that was cool for a couple of reasons. One, like, people from high school I haven't seen in like 25 years came to the reading and stuff. So that was cool to see them. But also there was one person there that I didn't know, and she was an older woman, and she asked a question, something like, is it a choice, but something like that. I forget what she asked. I said, no, you're born that way or whatever. When she came up to get her book signed, she told me she asked that because her granddaughter had just come out as a lesbian. I don't know how old her granddaughter is. But she was having trouble, the grandmother was having trouble accepting it and understanding it. You know, is it a phase? She just doesn't understand. But here she was at this thing, getting the book and attending this reading to try to understand.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that was really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah,
sir.
So that was one of the... Oh, and the second favorite thing of gratifying is what you said. One of my favorite female country singers from the 80s, which I don't know if you've ever heard, her name was Sylvia. She just went by Sylvia. She had a big hit song called Nobody in 1982. She was a female vocalist in 1983, had like 15 top 10 country hits. In the 80s, and one of my favorite singers, she bought the book and gave it a nice review on Amazon. So that was like,
nice.
Wow.
Hey.
Yeah.
Is Nobody the original one before Reba? That,
no, it was, it was a
Nobody with that
sing
one.
A couple bars.
You're Nobody Called Today.
Oh, I love that song!
Yeah, so it's a play on words.
The other girl
did
it. Yeah,
oh, did somebody do it?
Oh,
that's a cute song, yeah.
Oh,
and her voice is so beautiful, and I had all her albums, and she's on my Facebook now. She's so nice and sweet, and like, you know, but that was just so cool.
Wow.
That song is so fun. That was a good experience.
Yeah.
Not a big country guy, but that was a good
experience. It was number 15 on the pop chart, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Very cool. And now you're known for writing your own product. You wrote Walk a Mile, but I probably don't want to talk about. Tell me how that the book experience was different, and do you think you'd like to do another book, or was it, what's been the
Yeah, Tom Ortegan co-wrote the Walk a Mile, My Prize with me, and that it's on Amazon Prime now. It was on Netflix earlier or before. What's the difference here? What's in common?
Do you prefer, have you written a book before? Is it the first time you wrote a book?
First book.
Is it compared to writing for screenplay?
Gotcha, okay.
If you like that more,
yeah.
Do you like to do another book?
Okay.
Do you prefer to stay at screenwriting?
I love writing, so I mean, I'll write anything. But I wrote, I have 10 screenplays written, but Hollywood only wants to make remakes and sequels. So now I put Jurassic Park 10 or on the title page so they'll read it at least. No, a lot of scripts written. I have another book in the works, but it's more of a humor gift book with an animated illustrator for pet lovers. So it's totally different, but a really cool idea. And yeah, so there's the first book, and I do write a lot of scripts. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Do you have another book idea in mind yet? Or
just the, with the pet one, with the get humor. A lot of scripts I'm working on, more than the book.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
Yeah, with Walk a Mile, My Prada's, you worked, of course, with Tom Arnold, so now I'm a 2 degree away from Crazy Roseanne. So I'm going to I got Stan Zimmerman actually wrote for, so I guess I wanted to. I'm just seeing how much crazy I could get in my 6 degrees here.
And Tom,
you can
Tom
get there.
Actually, I've met Tom through Salad.
Oh.
And he is the sweetest man. He's just so sweet. I have never, you don't know what to think. And I think sometimes he gets a rap as being like, he's just so honest that I think that, people can think he's.
Sally's last name is?
Oh, Sally Kirkland. I'm so sorry. Anyway, but.
Like Sylvia, just the one.
He's just a sweet man.
He was very nice.
Yeah,
he was great to work with.
You happy to have Sally on my show. She's the sweetest person.
She's so nice.
She's
lovely.
She's great.
Yeah.
Well, social media, we'll talk back and forth on social.
She call in? Do you do call in?
He does.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is the only time I get to meet.
I know.
I called into your show. What am I thinking?
He's a little crazy. I'm going to talk right into the pants. He's a little crazy.
I can get him to come to Palm Springs if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one's going to drive to Ohio to talk.
Wait, so I want to follow up. Now I'm taking over the show. I want to follow up with your second part of your question to Rick. You asked about the most exciting or gratifying. But then you also asked the other part of it, which I can't remember the word, like the most.
It was the most surprising thing you heard from anybody or the thing that was just kind of weird that you thought was just.
Do you have any weird reactions out there? Like, or people come up there like.
No Fred Phelps' sister walking in front of the.
What's that?
No Fred Phelps' sister walking in front
no.
of
the. I don't know about Fred Phelps' sister, but one of my sisters is a big critic, and she's like, she heard I was writing the book, how are you writing a book on talking to kids about you don't have any kids? Well, she's the biggest skeptic. So she's three quarters through the book and says, you know what? It's pretty good. I'm surprised. I didn't know you could write. I'm like, but I'm sure, if I think about that more, maybe I'll think of something of.
Well, so nobody has come up and made a scene or.
One of the things, because a few Barnes and Nobles and some more conservative places, I was in Maryland and Delaware, but even that, one person I felt like looked at me a little funny, maybe when they heard the topic of it, but most people. I almost expect to find that somewhere, and depending, a little bit of that. But so far, I don't think I have that kind of,
Because honestly, a few years ago, to even have that kind of conversation publicly, it's still kind of very, we're old enough to remember it was kind of taboo. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's why this book is so great.
Just to see it on the marquee on the Barnes & Noble coming soon, talking about your LGBT relatives and everything, this would be a little shocking for some people.
Yeah.
One of the things that did surprise me, when I talked to Shelley Wright, she lives in New York now, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, you probably don't experience any kind of, oh, no, no, she said, there are some places I feel weird holding my wife's hand, hands even in New York. And they had a problem with a vendor once or something, or because they were lesbians. So that shocked me in a place like New York City, you know.
So. We're going to circle back to that when we talk roundtable a bit, because a friend of the show, Wesley Woods, he's an adult performer and everything, he just got mugged in West Hollywood of all places.
Oh, really? No.
Walking down, and then Miss, what's her name? One of the RuPaul Drag Season 10s in Dublin got purse snatched and mugged there. And it's like, I'm wondering in the age of 45 here, where anyone else is feeling anything like that. We'll talk about that a little more in the end, because I think you're right. I think as places we traditionally thought of as friendly and accepting, people are now not as afraid to confront
the
bastions of acceptance that we've found.
Yeah, the last chapter is called We've Come a Long Way, but We Have a Long Way to Go. So that kind of sums everything up. We've kind of gone backwards a little bit lately, but hopefully that won't.
Very topical. Very cool. All right, let's go ahead and take our first little break here. We're going to pile up on more food and get another cocktail. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about electricity.
What?
Terry Ray and Mel England right here in my bedroom in Palm Springs. I'm so excited, boys and girls, you don't even know. You're listening to Left to Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well,
Rick Carradas, Mel England, and Terry Ray. I believe we have a caller on the line.
For Rick. What is your name and where are you calling from? Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Rick?
My question is for... Yes, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Rick Cam, I'm going to repeat your question for him. But I will repeat it.
Sure.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Sure, let me just stop. My name is Adrian Christian.
Adrian Christian.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great.
Hey, and
singer.
I'm a friend of Rick's, and I just wanted to congratulate you, Rick, on your book. And I do have a question for Rick, and that is, Rick, have you ever met any adult, gay or straight, who has been influenced, who changed their opinion about gay or trans people after learning it from a child?
Okay, let's see if I can get it. I've got the big, long question. It's a good one here, and unfortunately they can't hear. But first he says congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
So give me the question one more. He wants to know if you've ever talked to anyone. Give me the question one more time.
Yeah, if you ever talked to anyone gay or straight who changed
ever
their mind
to anyone
about
gay or straight?
Who changed their mind about gay people.
Who changed their mind
learning,
about trans or gay people after talking
right,
to a kid.
Yes.
After someone talked to a kid,
change their perspective?
Did someone just accepted just naturally, and has a kid changed anyone's mind after maybe reading your book? Have you talked to any kids that have been talked to about your book at all?
Oh, kids who have been talked to about the book. I haven't talked to any kids. I know maybe a few people that told me they read the book maybe talked to their kids, but I don't know if they – or I think they were probably already – in an
anyone
accepting
change
environment.
Their mind about the LGBT experience?
That I know personally firsthand, I don't know. I know the transgender is harder, and there's more people's minds that need to be changed about that. In fact, I have a family relative who doesn't get it at all, and hopefully he'll read the book and get something out of that chapter. But and I know someone who read my, again, not with a kid, but she used to be a teacher, and she read the book and really liked it, and she admitted that she had an issue with gay marriage for a long time because of her religion. Now, my book didn't change her mind. She said a movie called Love is Strange changed her mind on that, which was interesting. I'm trying to think. Hopefully it is changed. The people that need to read the book and talk to, you know, the kids. And again, I don't think the kids have issues, so.
Have you gotten any letters from anybody after reading the book or anything yet? I mean, it's only been out a short time.
It's been out since May, but I don't think no letters. I'm trying to name an email or two, maybe I'm trying to think. There's a lot of nice reviews on Amazon to state what people got out of it. And I do know, like, there's a couple, like, who were raising two kids in South Carolina where it's very conservative, were changing minds kind of one at a time by being involved with the school. But then, unfortunately, with what's going on in politics lately, they're finding it harder and harder there, and they just moved to San Diego. So that's kind of sad to hear. But they were making some headway in because the kids, they even talked about the book where the kid would ask a question, you know, she has two dads. Yeah, why does she have two dads? Well, that's the way we chose raising her, and then, oh, that's cool. I wish I had two dads, the kid said, and the kid was fine with it, you know. So, so I don't know if that is, but hopefully that is. That's part of the point of the book is to get people to be more accepting and of all families.
Thank you, Adrian. Rick is bragging on your singing, so you're going to have to sing for us sometime. And any other questions for Rick while we have him online?
Oh, just want to say congratulations on the book. I think it's awesome, and it's really great when you do experience seeing, people's minds change from one thing, from where they were to another place. And I do believe the book is transformative.
Well, I will give him your big congratulations. It's a transformative book, and job well done.
Yay.
Hey, Adrian, thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it, okay?
He's been very supportive. Yeah, and
to you guys.
Important.
Thank you so much, guys.
He says thank you to everybody.
Thanks, Adrian.
Yes, we have a little...
Gracias, Zach.
As Terry alluded, we have a little strange setup because it's not like our usual setup. So I'm the only one that can hear the show. So I'm kind of relaying as we go along here, and we're talking into body parts, and it's interesting. It's live.
It's
live.
It's indulged.
What can
you do? Yeah.
And I did want to say something when you're talking about schools. I don't know if you guys read the other day, but West Virginia, they just did a new law where they have to have now posted in every public school building a placard that says "In God We Trust." into the LGBT. Now we're getting religion going into these things, all sorts of stuff. But in West Virginia now, any public school building has to have it because they adopted it as the state motto in 2006. And because it's on the money, this one representative, Christian right representative in West Virginia, got it through their legislature that now all the public affected this school year going back in September as having God we trust on every
building. But here's another West Virginia political thing that I just heard. West Virginia is hot right now. every one of their Supreme Court justices has been impeached.
Yeah.
Everything.
Wow.
For, like, being extravagant with their offices and spending all this tons of money. And, like, one of them spent, like, $500,000 or something. It's like every one of them just, you know, lying in their little pockets.
Exactly. And the real interesting thing about that is, like, it is very hot topic in the news. And they've just impeached all of their Supreme Court justices. But the rub is, because it is a Republican governor, they've known about these guys doing this expenditures for a long time. But if they did not impeach him before August 15th, and now they're impeached, but it's had them vote on the Senate, so it's not the official impeachment. It's kind of like the Clinton impeachment that never happened.
Right.
Because it's done by the House and not by the Senate.
Right.
If they did not have it done by the Senate by the 15th, if they did it by the 15th, they'd have a special election and replace all four of them in 6 months. Now the Republican government gets to appoint all four Supreme justices for 2 years. So now so you're going to have a...
That's crazy.
It's just a silly stuff.
West Virginia.
Politics on that. Let's talk electricity. I don't want to talk politics.
Oh my God! Let's talk electricity.
One shocking thing to another.
Yes, you're gonna get electrified.
We have two of the stars. Phenomenal play.
The entire cast, actually.
Yeah. The entire cast. True statement. Terry Ray, you created this. What has it been? 2 years now that it first debuted.
More.
LA?
Over 2 years. Yes, it's going strong.
And what was the impetus of this idea? Can you remind everybody what it's about and how it came to you?
Well, I wanted to write a play. I have never written a play before, and I wanted to write something where I didn't have to take anybody's bad notes. And I'm like, I want to write something where I can just do my thing. And I thought, you know, I got to write about something that means something to me. And I wanted to write about the journey that so many, basically every gay person that I know of my generation took from thinking there's something wrong with you for being gay to the point where we demand equality. And that's what this play is about, and I try to do it with humor and romance and some drama, and it takes place. I had to skip time because that journey takes a really long time. So it's a skip time. It starts in 1983 after these two guys' high school reunion, 10th high school reunion in small town Chillicothe, Ohio, and they are complete opposites. One is super closeted, and the other one is just brazenly out, and they wind up sharing a hotel room together. They have this connection, this electricity that brings them back after every reunion in 83, 93, 03, and 13, and you can see how the world changes and how they change, and it's just a really interesting, fun journey that we can all relate to. So that's the background.
Well, it's an amazing story. We've talked about it on the show a few times. I finally got to see it in Columbus when you took it there. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And, of course, Kevin Scott Allen, fantastic actor, over with you.
Yes.
Then we have the amazing Mel England.
Well, amazing. Let's be careful. Let's just not throw it.
The first time you did it, or did you do it?
I did not do it. The first time I did it was here in Palm Springs.
A year ago. Yeah. You've been doing it for a year.
And talk about how... Had you seen it first before you were approached on it?
I did. I saw the production in L.A. with Kevin, and I thought Kevin was brilliant and lovely. He's a fine actor. And I just loved the play. And when I first saw it, I just went up to Terry. This is a friend. We had worked together on Child of the 70s. And I just grabbed Terry and was like, oh, my God, I love your play. And told him how much it was just so resonant on what Terry just described, what he wanted to do. I felt like not only did he do, but I related to it so much as a gay man who went from, you know, the 80s to now and that journey. And there's a lot of issues that he deals with in the play, whether it's, you know, I mean, because it goes through the late 80s, early 90s, it's the AIDS crisis, it's also really, in many ways, about these two guys
trying to figure out if they're supposed to be in a relationship together, and that's actually a very common thing with gay men that are friends, or and also just dealing with, like, my character Brad is the crazy, you know, he's living the high life, he's drunk, he's out there, he's a sex addict, and sort of dealing with those issues about, you know, an avoidance of intimacy, which is in many ways the opposite of what Terry's character is, which is Terry's character is in the closet dealing with his fear of intimacy, and my character is, like, out there, like, screwing everything that won't walk, which is another version of the same thing. So you see these guys that are trying to figure out, how can I be, you know, when you live in a world, you're not allowed. Like, you know, it's funny because I think about these kids now. They go to high school proms with their boyfriends. Like, we didn't get to do that. I didn't get to have these conversations with my family like Rick is talking about. All of that was supposed to be hidden and in the closet and dark and secret. And, you know, when I finally moved to New York, you know, thank God I was surrounded by gay people and I could, live the high life. Maybe we dated, Rick. I probably saw you somewhere. you know, I'm just, it's all a blur. It doesn't matter. What the play does, it's a comedy, it's funny, it's touching, but we have guys that see this piece. It's one of the most gratifying things I've ever worked on because people see it and sometimes deeply respond. And so it can be very cathartic for people because I think sometimes when you tell these stories, you know, it allows people to see themselves and that's healing. It's a vindication to know that you haven't been all alone.
Right, and the characters still very much exist in real life. Like I said, not as much in New York and L.A., but you go to the smaller communities, you have the person's first time to a gay bar, and you have these people that go to the gay bar every week, and they're loud, the boisterous character, they're still figuring things out, but they're a little loud, and you're intimidating to tell someone that for the first time.
Yeah.
And just to see how those juxtapositions go and how the relationships really have that deeper meaning. It's so cool as the play progresses. And you wrote it as a stage play, which is so exciting. You guys have both done it as a stage play, but it's an entirely new experience here in Palm Springs. Talk about that for a second.
When we did the first run in LA, it was a great experience. We got great reviews. We were extended. And I just I don't want this to be over. I don't want this to, what can I do? Because, you know, it's very expensive even to do a small theater in L.A. It's a super expensive process, and you're losing money. So I'm like, how can we do this in a different way and keep it alive and try something different? So I thought, what if we actually did it? Because the whole play takes place in the same hotel room. What if we actually did it in a hotel room and as an immersive theater experience? And my producer, Michael Darner, who lives in Palm Springs, had invited his friends, John and Sandy, who own Indulge, who saw it in L.A. So he said, well, my friends own a hotel, and they saw the play. So he called them, and they immediately said yes. And my hope was that people would, I mean, it's weird to see a play in a hotel room. It's super intimate. It's like you are inches away from your audience, and sometimes you touch your audience by mistake. But we got stories. But my hope was that people would just feel like they were flies on the wall witnessing this story. And we did it, and the very first thing that people said was, oh my God, I felt like I was a fly on the wall, and the story just happened all around me. And it's been everything we'd hoped for, and it's so rewarding for us as actors, because for us, I mean, we get to do it on stage in different places, and I love that. It's like, you know, it's theater. But here, it's literally like acting in a live movie, because you are that close to your audience, you're that intimate, and it's such a weird experience, but a thrilling experience to be that. So I can't wait for you to see it in the hotel room, because it's very different than
I'm very excited. Very much like for you, Mel, the opposite. I mean, he started the stage play and came to, you started with the intimate experience, but you've taken it to New York and Minneapolis or whatever. Talk about.
Well, I knew because I was from New York, because I'm originally from Texas, but I went to New York to go in 9-4, like at some
18-4.
Point. Yeah. To go to NYU, but I had seen there was a lot of stuff, like we're calling it immersive now, but back in the late 80s, early 90s, for a period of time, it was very fashionable. You know, they
that's
would call
Tony it, Tina wedding started.
In that's right. Time. I had a friend who was in the original cast of Tony and Tina's,
right.
and another friend who I made Ron and Laura with, Janice Markham, was in the original cast of Grandma Sylvia's Funeral, which ran forever. And those were immersive experiences. At the time, it was being called environmental. Now we've come up with this immersive. And so I was familiar with it. I'd also seen some really incredible playwrights that had done things. There was a playwright, now her name is escaping me, the Irene Fornes, who did a play called Hunger, where you would follow these homeless people through, not actors playing homeless
right.
people, through a warehouse down in Tribeca. And it was incredible. So, you know, these, I was very comfortable with this idea. And I also knew on some level that it was going to change because of that kind of, I just knew that it meant that we were going to have to dial it in a way. And I think in a way, I was probably, it's not so much that I was more comfortable, than I just think I was more aware of perhaps, so I was prepared. I am so pleased with what's happened because in a way, we've now been able to take that kind of intimacy that we achieve. And, you know, we just went to Minneapolis with it. We've been going back and forth to New York for Broadway producers. We may, you know, hopefully do it, taking it off Broadway. So there's a kind of thing that we've discovered in this creating it in a motel room, a kind of intimacy that I think really serves the piece. It's a very deep play. It's funny, and you should laugh a lot, but it also, you know, this is serious stuff. We're talking about people's lives and their hopes and their dreams and just the desire to love. Terry's character has this incredible speech, which I won't give away, but, you know, where he talks about how we deserve to be happy.
Right.
And we are people that, you know, it's wonderful that these, you know, 17-year-olds today get to wake up and be like, hey, Mom, I'm gay, whatever, and, like, it's not a big deal. But for us, we were on the front lines. You know,
yeah.
A friend of mine, Stephen Fales, who should also be on your show, I don't know if you know, he does a one-man show called Confessions of a Mormon Boy, and he came out against the Mormon Church. He was excommunicated by the Mormon
right.
Church, and he wrote a book, and he did this play. Anyway, Stephen, he's a dear friend and just an incredible artist, and he, at one point, we were having lunch in New York, and he said, he looked at me, because I came out as openly HIV positive, you know, and went and did a solo show about that, and so we have all these things in common. But Stephen said to me, he looked at me, he said, Mel, you're a pioneer. And it wasn't until he said that to me, I was like, oh, that's what we are. We're pioneers. It's like we're out in the old west in the, you know, like the
sure.
covered wagon, you know, forging a path for the future generations. And that's what I love about doing this play. That's what I love about Ricky's book. It's just, anyway.
That's
I'm very passionate.
I know Stephen very well. He's coming back on the show in September.
Oh, you know Stephen. Oh, well, when he comes back, give him a big kiss.
Yeah, because he was just in New York last month doing
it. I think he's going to be doing another off-Broadway with us.
Yeah, fantastic. Off topic a second, speaking of the immersive experience, I don't know how long you guys have been in L.A., but did you ever go to the one in the VFW on
tomorrow.
Island?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I never saw it. I just heard a million things about it. Yeah, at the time I was.
Was that a murder mystery?
No.
But you followed it around in different things, so it was like a different play every time you saw it.
Oh.
Three levels
of
like
choose your own experience.
Yeah.
So
I was so poor then. Still am. No, I couldn't. But I had met the lady that was the lead, and I just
I
was like, oh.
I love that. I went and saw it like six times because it literally could be different. They do a little wine and cheese thing in the middle of it. It was just an amazing. My first time ever doing it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm so excited about tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. It's exciting. And we start off here is what's different is we start in the lobby. We actually have the reunion happening. It's 1983 in the lobby, and everybody becomes a classmate. And we get to be immersive there. And then when you come in to see the show, you're an audience member. But the immersive, you know, you get to participate in the lobby as part
of
the class. Yeah.
Now, talk a little bit, we hinted with it, Mel and I, talk about this experience for you. You have New York runs right now. You're trying to hopefully get it produced there. You were able to do a Minneapolis run. How is this exciting to see in all these different places? You did Columbus last month. Talk about that to you as both the playwright and the actor.
It's super thrilling for me. And like you just mentioned Columbus where you got to come see it, and you're responsible for me getting to be in Columbus.
Oh.
I was doing it here. Let me just tell people, we were chatting on the show talking about electricity, and he asked me the questions like, where would you like to do it next? And I said, you know, I wrote the play about a town in Ohio, and I'm from Ohio, and I would really love to do this play in Ohio. And he's like, in Columbus. And he's like, I know who you should talk to. And
wow.
He totally did that. So, yeah, this is the guy who got me Columbus.
God.
And he came to see it. And for me, I mean, it was very cool because I got to be the guest artist, which meant I wasn't a producer, or co-producer. I had nothing to do with the directing of anything, and I just was there as an actor. And it was super cool to see people put your play together with your mouth dipped. Like, if you think, oh, well, I would do this differently, you keep that to yourself, and let's see what happens if you do it this way, which was very rewarding for me. And I had a great time. So that was my first time to see, like, basically kind of witness a little bit of my play being produced on its own. And,
Wait a minute, let's call him.
I'm just curious, from that production of it, did you end up incorporating one or two things that they did into your show?
There are two new lines that came from that run that are in the run now decided that needed to happen. One I stole, the other, which I'm not telling because it's not mine. I have permission. And the other one I just thought of. And so, and for me, I've done it in so many different formats and venues that it's kind of sometimes hard to remember. Like in June, I did it in. I just did it in New York. I did it in Columbus, and I did it in Minneapolis, and I did four different versions within a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God!
But I was really excited when Terry was going to get to go to Columbus because I was going to be able to go because it was being produced by. Celebrate, what's the name of this?
Evolution Theater,
and Ralph Scott, wonderful
Ralph
actor,
Scott was my co-star,
who
was
going to be in it. And so I was excited because I knew Terry was going to discover things. And sure enough, it was so funny because we came back, we were rehearsing for our next time, I think here, or no, to go to Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
And I was like, all of a sudden in the middle of like one of the acts, I was like, is this something you were doing? And in Columbus, and it was just funny because it was like you were approaching the scene in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of stuff that I just is so exciting because by the time we get it to New York, you want to have looked at it from every angle and taken it upside down. And because, you know, those New York audiences are very serious. The thing that I loved about Minneapolis, I have to throw in there, is that those audiences are really serious about theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say it's a theater town. I didn't know this, but, I mean, I knew about the Guthrie my whole life, but they evidently, per capita, have the highest number of theaters of any place outside of Manhattan.
Really?
So, and I think it's because it's so cold there in the winter. They don't have anything else to do, so they just go to theater. But
the huddle to be warm.
Even to talk to them, like, after the show, like, people from Minneapolis would be, you know, normally people are like, oh, how do you learn all those lines? Or, you know, like, but they were like, I really appreciate how your character juxtaposed with the other character, and they were having this conflict. I'm like, these people are serious.
Yeah. And I just want to, a shout out for Minneapolis is that also came from Indulge. We've been doing the show for, you know, these people who stay in a hotel that are all over the country and literally all over the world, and people have said, hey, you should bring it to my town, and these two guys literally said, you're doing it, we're bringing you here, and they found a venue and they made it happen, and because of this Indulge experience, we got to go to Minneapolis.
But just what you're saying, it always shows that you never know what you do leads to something else. Like some actors or some people won't do something because they feel like, what's the point of doing that?
Mm.
You just never know what's going to lead to something else. You just do it and have fun with it.
No, and really the New York stuff, too.
Yeah, New York, we wouldn't be doing it in New York if it weren't for this. And, you know, we have guys from Denver that are like, you should come bring it to Denver. We have another group of guys that are talking about a cruise ship. There's so many places. I mean, this play has a life because obviously there's gay people everywhere. Probably the
well,
best
not
part,
in Iran. Are there some?
They
no,
are.
That's so
they
want to
live.
Also, is that doing it here at Indulge,
in Palm Springs, it's an international audience. So we've had guys from Germany, we've had guys from Australia, we've had guys from
Canada,
lots of Canadians. And it's funny because it almost doesn't matter. Like every culture, every country, it's a little bit different, but effectively we're all kind of on the same journey with this
right.
stuff. And it's really powerful. It's just been a lot of fun.
Same question like we have to Rick about the book. What experiences stand out to you? I mean, when you first did it, you had a lot of your celebrity friends come and
mm-hmm.
experience. What have you heard that was kind of fun and exciting to you as a playwright? And what have you heard as the actor that's exciting to you?
Well, for me, the most rewarding thing is when people will tell me later that they can't get the characters out of their head. You know, they'll go, I saw this play 2 months ago and I'm still thinking about these guys, which is very lovely. And also, I've had straight people that have just come up to me afterwards, sometimes just crying, saying, I had no idea. I didn't know what people went through. And also, I've had straight people say, I didn't think this was a gay play. I thought this was a play about two people that were in love. And those kind of things, I think, are really rewarding. Because I was hoping the gay people would
sure.
see their journey, but to see that the straight people are also going, I can relate to this play, and that, to me, is very rewarding. Yeah.
It's sort of ditto. A lot of the things that Terry just said, I think probably the most profound thing is that occasionally there are guys, like we had one guy that literally was speechless, and he could not talk to us after the show, and it was the next day he could talk about it because it was so emotional for him. We've had guys that it can't stop crying, and it's a comedy, so it's not like that, but it's just, it touches such a deep chord, because for a lot of us, you know, we had to survive the war, and what happens is that I think, and I talked when I did Best Day Ever, the movie, I wrote about sort of how we have PTSD as a generation.
Right.
You know, we have so much that we've had to deal with that I think, you know, ultimately we often just stuff it down. And so this play allows a lot of that, oh my God, yeah, because, you know, we go there. We go back into the AIDS crisis. We talk about, you know, but it is a comedy.
It is. It's a love story. It's a love story.
All right,
story.
Let's go ahead and take another break here. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of roundtable decisions. Anyone who wants to call in, I guess we had a first good caller. If you want to call in, go ahead.
I know. Yeah, we don't want to be don't let Rick be the only people with a fan club, babe.
Yeah. We'll come back.
Pretend like you like us.
Talk behind Michael McCarroll's back for this. Talk about the state of
maybe Michael
web series.
Yeah. Michael should call in. Michael.
Yeah, he should. I don't know why he didn't call in. I should.
He's probably hitchhiking right now.
That's true. But Sam, we have Sam, of course, co-producing in Ohio for me. Thank you so much, Sam.
Yes, Sam.
You can cue up another song for us, guys. We're going to take another break. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Guys, we are back. We are talking to Terry Ray and Mel England. They are doing the Hit Play Electricity right here at the Indoor Resort. We're going to be watching it tonight. If you are in town, please come by and see it. 7:30. I think there's a couple tickets left for tonight.
Electricitytheplay.com.
Yeah. There you go.
And, use the $5 discount code.
Oh, hotel.
Hotel.
$5 discount code for hotel. It's also tomorrow night, so please come out. We also have Rick Carotis here, the author of Rainbow Relatives, talking to your children about LGBT and our life in general here. Good stuff all around. We were supposed to have Michael Vaccaro here, the creator of Child of the 70s and an excellent actor in his own ilk, of course. We may try to get him to call in, but we have the next best thing. We have Mel and Terry, who are co-stars. This is the fifth and maybe final season,
it's
right?
It's the final season. Mm-hmm.
Talk about, you guys have done most of the principal shooting for it, I think, right?
It's all done. It's all shot. It's all shot. Yeah, yeah.
And you have kind of a fun character. Talk about your character, though. A little CD.
Yeah, I've actually been lucky enough to be with the show all seasons. And if you relate it to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which is sort of what Michael does, he's Rhoda. And I am Phyllis. So, you know, I'm not the nicest person. I try, but I'm not very good at being nice. So, I'm...
Oh, like real life.
Wow. Wow. And then that's why Mel's character died.
My character does...
I don't know about Child of the 70s, but he does have electricity now.
we don't know what happens in Child of the 70s.
We don't know, but electricity...
Yeah,
we had
a cliffhanger last year, didn't
yeah.
we?
Always, every year, every year. We have a major event every year. One year we had an earthquake. We're coming back from an explosion, so we got to see. Not everybody makes it. There's a real weeding out process.
It's like Game of Thrones. Don't get attached to anybody.
Right.
Wow.
Except you can't. I'm just going to spill the beans. I'm in season 5, so. But Mel and I met because of Shot of the 70s.
That's right.
So everything is all related. It's so weird. It's like,
yeah.
What was your character like? Remind everyone of your character.
Well, I play Victor, and I was in season 4, and I'm in season 5. I'm a sort of an aspiring actor type that's sort of probably more just like a, I you know, it's so funny. He seems to be so obsessed with getting ahead or getting some head. I don't know.
It is like real life. Both of our characters.
He's kind of the bad news, or he's, you know, anyway. So I remember at some point I looked at Michael and I said, you know, Michael, I think that my inspiration for this character is, remember Crystal on Dallas, the sort of the bad one that shot JR? And it was like, no, not so much her. And then he gave me some other, like, 70s icon.
He did?
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but I'm sort of the bad seed.
But Michael needs a lot of congratulations for doing 5 seasons of a show. It's so hard to get that done, and he's done it.
Right.
He really did do it.
And so many great co-stars.
Amazing people.
I'd love to have Anne here. She's so much fun.
Anne Walker. She's amazing. She's been with it from the very beginning. Anne Walker. Gosh, there's so many. There's Bruce Valanche, help me, Judy Tenuta.
Randy Jones from The Village People.
Yeah, Susan Olsen. Jerry Jewell. Donna Peschow.
Ted Lange.
Judy
Tenuta is amazing.
Dina Hecht.
Yeah.
Lynn Marie Stewart. Beverly Sanders. I mean, it's crazy. How many? I'm sure.
And has Michael shared with you a possible launch date yet, or do you guys know when it might be coming?
I do know a little secret. The film festival here in Palm Springs that's happening next month, Cinema Diverse.
Nice.
That episode 1 is going to play there.
Oh.
Along with an episode of My Sister's So Gay.
Wow.
Double header. Did I just say that on air? Somebody better get that.
I can't remember if I'm in episode 1 or if I'm in episode 2, so I guess I'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to a roundtable discussion, because you guys are all film creators. You guys have all worked on your own projects. And like you said, 5 seasons just to get funding for that. You can only crowdsource yourself so much and get the friends, relatives, and mortgage the house.
Not easy.
Talk about these projects now and what it's like to actually get something made.
It's who goes?
Well,
Rick, you talk, Rick.
Yeah, Rick, what I'll say is that it is funny that, you know, I think the technology changed and made things really easy for people to do things like this, and that was a wonderful revolution about 10 years ago. All of a sudden, everybody could get a digital camera, and everybody could do this, and then you have the social media platforms like the Indiegogo or whatever. And at the same time, at some point, I think you hit sort of a threshold. Like, I could only do so many fundraisers. Like, I sort of blew my wad with that, no pun intended, with Ron and Laura Take Back America, because we did a couple of, you know, I'm not against it. I think it's great. I think it's lovely, but it is a lot of work. But from the ground up, if you're producing something and you're creating it, and then you have to be responsible for, like, you know, posts or finding out, you know, who's going to cater for, you know, the 12 actors and just getting 12
That's
actors.
That's a big difference, too, what I've noticed from the actors that have been established and these new kids on the block making these films. You guys really work with the other actors. You want to make sure that you have some creature comforts a little bit, make sure everyone's accommodated.
Have to,
yeah.
Now these people, they don't wham, bam, thank you, get the McDonald's to come deliver and do something on a quick iPhone and make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows. But let's go into the individual shows while we're talking. Talk about your show, because it's so prescient to what we're at right now as far as the conservative.
Well, you know, Ron and Laura Take Back America was a mockumentary that we made pre the current administration. So at the time, Ron and Laura were a couple that were taking America back from the gays and the illegals and the Muslims. And so they were fired up
about
that.
You inspired Donald Trump.
Well, in a weird way, it's like when Trump got elected, you know, we were like, oh my God. But, you know, so it's a comedy that's making fun not only of those people, but we also kind of make fun of people on the left too, because we're all kind of crazy. So it's coming from that very, you know, All in the Family, Norman Lear, like, you know, point of view, but just by having a conversation about the topics. So we deal with, you know, racism, xenophobia, and homophobia. The son is gay, but they're against gay marriage. But then he not only announces that he's gay, but he's going to marry a black guy. I mean, and so it just kind of keeps going on. Like, they're against illegals, but they have to hire one to take care of the crazy grandmother. Then, you know, Jim J. Bullock, who Terry and I have, like, seemed to know everybody in common. The great Jim J. Bullock is also in the movie in a sort of delightful cameo. But what I'll say about that is that we opened in late 2016. We had a premiere in New York and LA. We're currently in the process of launching for foreign, because that never happened. And we may be doing a little retitle and a little re-edit of the film to cut in the current somebody in the White House that I will not even say his name right now.
Well, we're in room number 45.
Oh, oh, my
right. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Terry.
That's happening as we speak. So it's interesting from that perspective. Again, it's a self-generated project, how we can go, wait a second, I think we're going to maybe do a little tweak on this and acknowledge what's happened. Anyway, so, you know, but it's fun when you're in the driver's seat because you get to do things like that.
Awesome. Rick, talk about the rom-com, gay-centric. You had, tell them a little bit what your Walk Among Pride is about. We have Trick 2 just announced the other day. It's coming out 20 years later. They're going to redo that or sequelize that. Talk about the rom-com genre. What did you like about it and what's the challenges there?
Yeah, and we had a, you know, kind of a low budget, and it took a long time, though, even to get the funding for that, and it was yeah, like you said, kind of like Freaky Friday with a gay straight twist. It was about a guy who's really homophobic, and thanks to some Christmas magic, him and his coworker get their sexual orientation switched. So 2 weeks before his wedding, he's now turned gay. So it's kind of a fun film. But it was hard to get that made and all that. And
there's still a market for that now. Like I said, Trick, the first LGBT film I've seen come out or be announced to come out. You seem like you get the latter days, they kind of slowly trickle out.
Was the mainstream one that I didn't see this summer? Or it was like the young...
Call Me By Your Name?
No.
No, there was a. I didn't see it, but it was like a sweet little high school romance.
I saw it on Netflix. That was good. I just saw it like a week ago.
No, it was the Greg Berlanti one.
No.
Right? Love Simon?
Yes.
Simon.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Was good. That was
really
good.
I mean, but that was cool that came out. It was
and the rules, you know, it's just so funny because the rules keep changing. But now, you know, like Netflix has an LGBT, you know, part that you go to, or Amazon, obviously. So in a weird way, the appetite for content is bigger, but now you have bigger boys playing in the LGBT game. You know, there's people that I'm sure that we all know that are distributors, like the little mom and pop gay distributors are.
Yeah, Wolf and TLC, whatever.
Those guys, are now up against Amazon and Netflix and everybody else. So it's the rules have changed, but I think it's actually a very exciting time to be making LGBT film.
There's luckily a demand for it.
Yeah,
because there's people. We have a built-in audience, which is if we're 10% of the population, that's huge for entertainment. To say, you can market to 10% of the population. That's something.
It's weird. I only have one other script that is kind of totally LGBT. Like the first one, Welcome on My Proud, and I. Six or seven others are just all different kinds.
Right.
But I do have another one called My Big Gay Turkish Armenian Wedding Fiasco, which
is
really funny. So
My
Big Gay Turkish Armenian Wedding Fiasco.
Oh.
Because Turkish and Armenian hate each other, right?
Yeah. Well,
there's a rival
100 years ago, so there's a
conflict. It's sort of like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Right, it's like Romeo and Juliet. Like a Middle Eastern, what's that other one? I don't know. But anyway.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And Terry Takalevin, you kind of have the both words. You did all of the My Sister's So Gay originally on your own. Then you kind of got to go to Tello a little bit. And what's that like, bringing it from individual to studio? And then now we're trying to get into the Hulu's and Amazon, like you said.
Well, originally for the My Sister's So Gay project, I actually had a product investor. So Equality Vodka paid for first season.
Of course.
So that is how that got made. And then
about Bert and Doug.
Yes.
They were godsend.
They're amazing, and they're amazing guys. So they actually made season one happen financially. And then we did make a deal with Tello, but that was a lesbian thing. And I thought, My Sister's So Gay, a lesbian show. But it's actually a gay show. So the lesbians were like, yeah, it's okay. But but everybody else loved it. And we have a great cast. I have Lonnie Anderson, Jebra Wilson, Radon Chong this season, Tilke Jones, who does a bazillion TV movies, is a hottie hunk, and then me, Wendy. And we decided that we didn't give it the right launch because we went with Telefilms. And Telefilms are great. They're great. I'm in the same thing bad about Telefilms. But it's not a lesbian show.
Right.
And so we thought, okay, we kind of just didn't give it the right launch. And we feel like the show is really strong. And so I went to Wendy and I said, let's do a second season. And we don't have the money. So let me go to all these big stars and say, hey, guys, do you want to really do it for dirt because you like it? And they read the script and they said, this is, you know, they said sweet things. They had a little discussion when we were shooting. They said, look, we get offered a lot of stuff. And we say yes to big money, or we say no to yes to very small money, only if we love it. And that was sweet of them to say, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we were able to do. Everybody granted us favor. Everybody worked. It was union. But they did it for the lowest amount of money they possibly could.
Hey, can I also just put in a plug for Terry? Because he just did, he has a lovely cameo in this incredible documentary that's coming out. It's sort of hitting the airwaves. But we saw the premiere at Outfest. I have to, Road to Freedom, Long Road to Freedom.
Oh.
50 mm-hmm. years of the Advocate magazine. Mm-hmm. And Terry is in it as in a reenactment at the beginning of
Billy Cliff.
Cliff directs this amazing documentary about really the history of the gay rights movement, and it's going to be at the Palm Springs. But I mean, it's all
it's
over.
Cinema Diverse. It's going to be the premier thing.
I think it's going to have a distribution. Yeah,
and here media.
Had Billy and David Milburn on the day before premiere.
Oh, good. Okay.
So yeah. You're, and So I knew the print was going. I got to see all your pictures from it. It's amazing. They sent me an advanced copy. I missed you because I had it. They gave it to me like 3 hours before the show. So
I just did a reenactment, and I actually missed Dragon when I'm.
But yeah, it's just amazing because I did not know. I'm everyone else. 99.9 Stonewall is the first thing that ever happened in the gay liberation, and all of a sudden you find out about Black Hat.
And
it's like, it was amazing.
It's just a block away from where I've lived.
And Billy and Dave are supposed to be here the very last day I'm here, Tuesday,
good.
27th.
Yeah, they should be very proud of that project because they've done a lot of stuff to preserve history. It's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I'm really just a little helper.
Terry it's really lovely. I just wanted to mention it because Billy's also a part of it, and he's a
He directed My Sister's So Gay.
Made that connection. Yeah.
Everything's lovely. Connected.
I know.
Very incestuous.
I know. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Hashtag me too.
Hashtag.
Wait, can
Rick,
I?
Rick, quit touching me.
I deleted Rick's crotch a little bit more.
What keeps you guys creative, and what's really gets your juices right now? I mean, this is a big project for you two, I can imagine. With New York, this is on the main burner.
Yeah.
But what? It's already written. What is it? Because what keeps it fresh for you? Is it just the promoting of it now? And what all are you looking to do?
You mean with electricity?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's wild doing a play because it is different than doing a film or TV thing where, you know, you shoot it and then it goes into editing and it's, you know, then you have distribution. But at a certain point, it's done. You're done, you know, in a way. I mean, you're never done promoting that project for the rest of it. I had a publicist a long time ago say, you know, you made a deal with the investors and the producers and the director and the other actors. For the rest of your life, you're promoting this movie. And I was like, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, you're done with the work. With a play, as long as it's running, it's never – I mean, there's always something to discover. It's always going to be different. Every single time we do it, that's a really – you just – there's not – I'm a stage actor. I'm like, I live for it. So.
This feeds my soul. Getting to do the play just feeds me as an actor.
And then he also eats like lots of Del Taco before.
I tried to eat your soul, but I couldn't find it.
It's because I don't have one.
Yeah. Long gone.
And Rick, are you going to plan sticking with the book for a while and finishing the tour, or what's on your...
Yeah, I'm doing that, but also I have another film I've been trying to shoot for a while. It's a family inspirational film called Charlie's Dream, and I have John Schneider attached, and even Olympia Dukakis gave me a letter of intent a little while back.
Nice.
But it's just getting the money and stuff is the hardest part.
Do you sleep with the book in your bed with you? Do you like?
I thought you were going to say, did you sleep with John Schneider? But
oh well, that's my second question.
I'm
second question.
I don't think John's on our team, darn it.
No, but he's an actor. Yeah.
I'm not going to go there with that. But anyway, do I sleep with the book? I sleep with 100 copies of the book. No,
wow.
I don't.
Picture you. Like, just like, oh, here's my book.
No, but it was cool when you first see the hard copy of the book.
Smell it.
I did not smell
it. No, you can smell that fresh paper.
No, but that's so wonderful about your book is I was thinking about it as you were answering Adrian's question. The lovely thing about it is just the fact that it's not even about whether it's changing this person's mind or that person's or the kid's mind. It's just the fact that people are having the conversations. Right. Like, we weren't allowed to have the conversation. That's 98% of the problem I had. I didn't know I had that problem, but, like, I couldn't talk about it with my grandma.
I didn't know it was possible to have a conversation.
You thought this was this forbidden thing you're not supposed to talk about. And that's kind of cool about the book because they do talk about how different it was back when I was growing up and some of my own personal things in it, and then how it is a lot easier today.
Mm-hmm.
Still, nothing is easy. I mean, sometimes we think things are easier than they are, too. But, it's just so different now than it was.
Well, it's different. It's easier to be yourself.
Yeah.
But still the acceptance is not there. You still have the bullying and everything else.
I think it's hard for parents. I think one of the things for parents, I can only imagine, but I know – from the even friends of mine that you would think they're very LGBT friendly, but all of a sudden when it's their kid, it's really because they have hopes and expectations and they want to protect their kid. Nobody wants their kid to be, you know, harassed or feel so. I think a lot of it. I think that's why it's so hard for people to accept.
Yeah. I don't want to finish on Debbie Downer, but let's finish on Star Wars.
Can we talk about suicide?
I wanted to circle around from earlier today.
But that's actually a good reason to talk about it. Is there a gay team?
Well, yeah,
let's talk about the administration a little bit. And where we feel
you want that
we're going
to
backwards and how we can kind of, like I said, we have the two incidents now. We have Miss Cracker that gets mugged in Dublin. Then we have adult film star Wesley Wood in West Hollywood of all places. So we still have some things we're dealing with here.
I have a good
What's
friend.
The temperature in general?
The man is breeding hate. Yeah. He's breeding it. He's throwing ingredients of hate in a big boiling pot.
I have a friend that just got harassed by police in Florida. And he said it basically was because he was gay, and it was a bad scene. So I can't go into the details because he's in the middle of it. But,
of course.
It's a bad scene.
Not just gay also, but someone I know is, she's Latina, she's from Mexico, speaks both languages. She grew up here, but she was having a conversation on the phone with a Latin client in another country. So she's speaking Spanish, and someone was observing her and called ISIS on her. They come, and then she starts speaking English with ISIS, and the guy says, you didn't tell me you spoke English. She says, you never asked me, you didn't approach me, you just called. I mean,
that's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's horrible.
And we got to that extreme now. The Walmart or the Walgreens guy or whatever, they called on someone.
Oh, they call the police on black people and whatever. You know, the thing is I saw a really lovely quote recently, and I can't remember. That's the thing. I don't remember. But anyway, somebody was. They were saying, you know, look, it's a really hard time. We know that this is a hard time. But, you know, all of our forefathers and foremothers and brothers and sisters went through this, whether it was like the civil rights movement or the fight for women to vote or, you know, ACT UP. Like, we can do this. We have to do this.
Right.
We have to keep, you know, on the path.
And even if it's, I mean, God, knock on wood that it's not, but even if it goes 8 years, you can't. The most he can screw it up is the Supreme Court thing. I mean, that's been screwed up for 20
he's
years.
He's done a lot of screwing up.
But everything else can reverse eventually, I would hope.
Well, the thing that I always was, because I had friends that were not as alarmed about it when it happened, but when he first came out in the very first press conference and said the things he said about Mexicans, like, because I'm half Hispanic, and so I was just already okay, this is not okay. The thing is like right after that, it was in a couple of months, the Southern Poverty Law Center documented that the incidence of bullying against little Hispanic children across the nation skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So this man, through what he says, is affecting little kids. And I had to say that to, you know, the lady who cuts my hair one day because she was thinking about voting for him. I was like, look, don't do it. It's not about the politics. It's not about Hillary. It's not about this or that. Think about the little kids. They're getting bullied.
Ripping
because of this
kids
guy.
From their parents.
That's horrible.
They don't
care.
Well, the problem is just him, it's all these people that support him and have these views to begin with and see that it's coming out in the open
it's
now.
It's crazy. I mean, when you got to think he's the president of the country. I mean, I can understand a stupid idiot, which he is, but then you have someone calling a woman a dog in public. And you're the president of a country?
It also speaks to the fact that really at the core they're at a loss for any really legitimate ideas because all they have is this kind of bluster and chaos creating nonsense.
I heard today that I don't remember if it came from Omarosa or not, but he was reportedly saying that he wanted to run his White House like every day, like it was a reality show, that something crazy would happen, and I think he's doing that so that he can get ratings and get talked about, and I think that's literally how he thinks. He doesn't care what it's said or what's done. He wants to be in the news, and he is. He's in the news every day. All
that
we hang on to what he says.
Thing is because he confused everyone with so many things, no one can keep track anymore.
The tweets are insane.
Just that alone, it's like
10, 20 tweets a day of crazy. And
he's doing that. We all watch because we can't believe how bad he's destroying our country. And but that's a reality show where you turn in to watch the drama, to watch the fighting.
We can only hope that creatives such as yourselves will take this moment in history and turn it into something we will learn from.
I wrote a crazy feature film about a president thing, and it's not anywhere.
You can't hold a candle.
If
you wrote this 5 years ago and put it on the screen, people would like, that's so ridiculous. That would
I wrote a crazy like farce thing, and I'm like, it's nothing now. It means it's trash.
Well, that was the weird thing about our movie, because we thought we were coming up with crazy, silly, a little over the top here, a little over. And as we had one scene with a congressional candidate, and it's in this backyard, and she's going to run for Congress, and she's like a little Tea Party person. She's saying all these horrible things, and there were parts that we literally cut out in editing because you're like, it's a little over the top. It was not over the top at all. Sad. It's really sad. Anyway.
You can't.
Okay, we're not going to end in a downer.
Let's name our favorite brand, favorite flavors of ice cream.
Here you go.
Buffalo flavored ice cream.
Let's finish.
Jerry Garcia.
Chocolate.
We'll go one more positive. Let's finish up. What are you guys excited about? What are you, besides your own project, what are you interested in TV, movie, or actor-wise? Give me something that we should look out for.
TV, movie, or actor-wise, a project that we're excited about?
Uh-huh.
You got one?
The first thing that came to mind was Cher doing an album of ABBA covers. I love ABBA. I love Cher. So
and did you hear that
you
Madonna is going to be on one of them?
I
wow.
Heard, yeah.
Really?
Wow. I can't believe.
Wow.
I can't believe ABBA stole that.
Well, yeah, since we're being totally gay and going with Cher, I will double down and I will say, because a friend of mine is producing it, they're doing a Cher musical on Broadway that's supposed to be opening in a few months.
A Cheritical?
Yeah, a Cheritical, exactly. And it's there's going to be three Chers, like the young Cher, the 80s Cher.
And the old Cher kind of looks like
a new, whatever, and then the Believe Cher. It's really, it looks like it's going to be amazing, and I am so excited for my friend Larry Poindexter, who's producing it, and anyway, yeah.
Jerry,
I don't know.
There is
all the gay
okay,
stuff.
I know what you should be excited
what?
About.
What?
Terry is moving to Palm Springs.
I just bought a house for the first time in my life.
A homeowner.
I have a washer and dryer that doesn't require quarters. I'm super excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm still working in L.A., people. I'm still available for work in L.A., but I'm going to be living in Palm Springs.
And now we all have a place to come stay.
Party.
In Palm Springs. At Terry Ray's house.
So I've been a handyman. I've been showing crack whenever I bend over. All month long.
Oh.
Shut up.
He's got three neighbors that way. Don't pick
on me. Try to get this on an up note, Terry. Come on.
Oh. Hey, I'm all painted. Now I just need new floor and we're going to go.
Well, guys, thanks so much for coming out all the way to Palm Springs.
Well, you think? Thank you for coming all the way to Palm Springs.
Yeah,
further.
Did you drive all this way?
I drove all
wow.
the way.
He drove all night.
That's why it's a gay road trip. As opposed to, if I go to Cleveland,
wait, I want to remember that song again. What is
it? We're trying to have a finale to the show here.
No, your friend's song.
You're nobody called today. She hung up when I asked her name. Well, I wonder, does she think she's being clever?
Oh, yeah.
There's a play on the word nobody.
Oh,
right.
That's my
funny.
God. Now he has to pay the rights to that song, y'all.
Oh.
Exactly. We're good. All right, let's do a little self-promotion. Terry, where can they find you, my friend?
You can find me doing shows through electricitytheplay.com, or you can go to my website, terryray.tv, or you can find me on Facebook, Terry Ray, or on Instagram, at Terry Ray.
And have you found a boulevard on Palm Springs they could find you at yet?
You had suggestions for a good one? Right now it's Ramon and Gignotri.
Rick, little self.
Okay, you can find me on www.rickkaratas.com, RickKaratas, on Instagram at Sudi Rick, and Twitter at Sudi Rick, and on Facebook, I think it's under Rick Sudi Karatash. And the book Rainbow Relatives you can find on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, at Fabulous Books in Palm Springs. Yeah, I guess.
super duper. And Mr. Mel England.
MelEngland.com, on Facebook, Mel England, and on Twitter, at Mel England. Instagram, somebody took Mel England. So I have Mel England.
A lot of E's. Ask him his real name.
Four M's.
Oh, Mel, I forgot England. About that. What is your real name?
Oh, it's a long story.
But
we'll have to do
it.
Another show about
just
it.
Just say what it is.
Mel is short for Mellow Moonshine. My parents were hippies. So
Mellow Moonshine.
Mellow,
you were not going to guess that.
Oh, I'm booking the next show already. Oh, goodness. Sam, thank you so much for producing us.
Yay, thanks, Sam.
Hello. How is everything in Ohio? What's the temperature there? It's 106 there.
The temperature here, can you all hear me?
Yes.
The temperature here isn't too bad. It's, I think it's in the upper 80s, but, you know.
Upper 80s, bastard. I hate
that's
you.
Pretty
wow.
Awesome.
Should we tell Sam that we've done this entire show naked? Should we tell him that?
Did see who?
That we
oh,
did
I could
entire
tell
show naked?
Yeah, it was a naked show. You missed that out. Thank you for telling me this. College has got nothing on us here in beautiful Palm Springs. Hey, guess what gas is here, Sam?
Oh. Say that again, sorry.
I paid $3.79 a gallon the other day.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I left Ohio with 76 degrees and $2.61 a gallon.
Oh.
I was so depressed.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, cue us up. I'm going to talk to you later. Thanks for producing. Guys, we have another great week of shows next week. On Monday, live from Palm Springs, the Indoles Resort, we have Blake MacGyver and Emerson Collin from The People's Couch on Bravo and A Very Sordid Wedding. We have Craig Ramsey and his husband Brandon Liberati from The Newlyweds on Broadway, Bravo. And Brandon is actually going to have to hit the road early because he is doing Someone Fancy's Hair for the Emmys Monday night. So we'll have to find out all about that. And on Tuesday's show, we have our buddy Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio, Nolan Roberts for 11 for Men Cosmetics, and Frank, or who do we have? Oh,
we have Billy Cliff.
That's the week after.
Oh.
And then we have Fernando Herrera, mm-hmm. who is an actor, and he wrote this great fiction vampire book all about the Catholic Church involved. And
wow.
So it's going to be a fun show. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show. Guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thank
Scott
you.
Fullerton Rock.
Oh, thank you,
Scott. Left of Straight.
Sam, check on my plants. Make sure they're watered. Have fun in Ohio. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye. I'll always